Welcome to Beyond the Bombshell, the podcast that dives deep into the heart and soul of real life. I'm your host, Michelle Stokes, and I'm here to guide you through this empowering journey. We'll talk about real life and what it truly takes to be a strong, confident, and fulfilled woman. Join us as we rewrite the rules and celebrate the extraordinary and fierce women we all are. We'll share insights, build a space for uncomfortable conversations, and truly just embrace real life. Let's go beyond the surface and find your real life bombshell.
Being a business owner or attempting to open a business or leading people in a business is the scariest thing imaginable. And people in the outside world think this is so glamorous. It's such a glamorous job. It's really easy, but it's not. Because we are the last person to get paid. We're the first person to show up in the morning. We're the last people to go home at bed at night. And when things aren't right, nobody gets credit, but we get the blame. You got in business for a reason. Because you had something to prove. You got into business for a reason, because you believed in you when other people did not. And I really thought that really set in and really helped summarize and give full circle of what I was trying to get through and what you'll listen to coming up, that taking that jump and that step into the entrepreneurial business world. And on socials, it seems so glamorous. And when I run into people for the first time in a long time, they're like, how are you? And I often struggle of how to reply, because I don't want to just say, oh, I'm good. Or, you know, I the last couple of times I've just stopped and I'm not quite sure what to say. And they're like, you look so busy. Things look like they're going so good. And I'm just like, you have no idea. You actually have no idea how amazing, yes, it is and it can be, but how hard it actually is to show up every day, one for you, two for your business partner, which is also my husband, three for your children, four for your team, five for your clients, six for the social media world, and seven for anyone else I might have forgotten on this list. And being a business owner and being at the top, we'll say, as the owner, you know, as of the hierarchy, is you often feel alone. You never really get credit or congratulations or, you know, good job. You have to just, you know, give that to everybody else, but you don't often get it in return. And you, like I said a few minutes ago, are always the last to get paid. You have to make sure everyone else gets paid first and all the bills and everything gets paid for the business and all your staff and all your agents and all your everyone in your team. And it is stressful, really stressful. And, you know, on the surface or on my social media world, or if you're following along, aesthetically, the grid looks great. And I really try to keep things positive and motivating, because I want people to, you know, encourage others. And it's not all rainbows and sunshine, and it takes a lot of work. And yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Bombshell. Today, I'm going to take you for a trip down memory lane. It has been officially 4 years since I left my nursing career and entered into the wild world of real estate. And I've had a few of you reach out and ask me some questions again about how I made the leap, how I had the courage, what did I do? And I don't think I have the concrete step-by-step, here's a playbook, exactly what you should or should not do. But I thought it would be a good time to sit back and maybe reflect and just talk about some milestones, and maybe I'll remember and talk about some hiccups along the way, maybe some setbacks, and just how things all played out, honestly. And really, it's just a quick little glimpse or reflection of my entrepreneurial, I guess, journey, and it's far from over. I feel like it's only still just getting started, and I think I'll go back to, oh my gosh, how long ago? 20, 14, I guess, when I first had my little taste of being like my own little boss. And I still feel like 10 years later that it's only the tip of the iceberg of what this journey could potentially turn into. I'll be completely honest. It feels like only yesterday that I had this itch or this desire to, I guess, be my own boss and work, quote unquote, less hours. But technically, as an entrepreneur, and if you're in this world, you know that we actually work more than your typical nine to five or shift worker. We honestly do work more, especially when you are your own boss and it's your own business. And no matter if it's an MLM to a dental office to a real estate brokerage to crocheting when your kid goes down for a nap, literally, you quickly realize that you actually work more. And it's funny, in the real estate world, you ask some people why they got into real estate, and they're like, I just wanted to be my own boss, and I wanted to work less, and I wanted to have control over my own hours. And then they realize that once they get in this world, is that they can't say no, and they work more hours than they thought they ever could. And it's just a downward spiral from there. So let's go back. Let's go back to my first taste of, I guess it just helps me and show you and show others that like there was baby steps, some baby step progress. And I feel like, you know, real estate is probably not going to be the end for us. And it's not just real estate. We are partners with a staging company. We have our own personal real estate portfolio that is a combination of short-term Airbnb and long-term rental units, and a couple other ventures that are underway behind the works right now of us just being, I'll say, like private partners that we aren't going to be in the day to day. Like our staging company, we're kind of like funding, owning shares, that type of business. And we have a couple other opportunities to do so. So it's definitely not. I feel like it's just that we're just starting. I feel like we're just starting, even though we've been in focused 100% since, you know, 2020, solely in the entrepreneur world, focusing on real estate. I feel like it's only the tip of the iceberg. I feel like the business portfolio, we're going to have some more hurdles and some more issues to overcome, I'm sure, and some more ceilings, glass ceilings we need to break through, and all these things. But I feel like it's only the tip of the iceberg of what we will actually become or own or venture into. So anyway, back in roughly 2024, we just moved back from Alberta. We were in Alberta for 3 years, nursing gig. My husband did the whole engineering. He was going back and forth to Alberta. We talked about his story before, but my first taste of becoming an entrepreneur, and I don't think I talked about this before. I've told it lots of times, so maybe I should have went back through the podcast, but I don't think so. I was on cardiology at the Health Science, and I sat down in our little closet of a break room. Literally, it didn't have any windows, has a door, enough room for like two chairs and a couch and a TV. It was literally a closet. And I seen a magazine on a table, and the magazine just caught my eye because there's jewelry. And you all know, even back then, I still love jewelry. And there was a magazine, and when I picked it up, it said Stella & Dot. And I had no idea what that was, no recollection, never heard the brand, never heard the thing before, never really heard of this, like having parties to sell products before either. And I'm pretty sure it was Charlotte's, if Charlotte listens, Charlotte Dove, contact card on the back of the magazine. So I'm not sure how I didn't get in contact with her at the beginning, but I seen this magazine and I was flipping through her stuff and I was like, man, this stuff is beautiful. And like, wow, it's actually a decent price. And then, of course, in the magazine, or the lookbook is what I figured out it was called later, there was like, you know, sign up here and, you know, for $99 and you get, you know, $500 worth of product and all this stuff. So I came home and I was like, Josh, like, what is this? So anyway, I did it. Said, like, what is this? I must have Googled it or looked into it a little bit more. And anyway, then I got in contact with Sarah, someone who was really high up and who had like a huge downline and stuff. And she really helped me tap into that, like, I won't say sales It is sales, but really tap into that, you know, what everyone's doing right now, just influential selling because you like things. But that's really what I did with Stellan Dot, like way back 2014, before all this influencer thing got super, super popular. I was selling Stellan Dot and had 33 women actually in my downline in a short 6-8 months. It was wild. But I literally just wore the jewelry because I truly loved it. I still love it. If you were in my room right now, you would see my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have a 6-drawer IKEA like little storage unit. And when you pull it out, it has all my trays from my Stellan Dot days still filled with so much jewelry. I got rid of a lot, but I kept my core pieces I really loved. But those 8 months were wild. It was all about, you know, influential, I'll say, relationship selling, doing parties, selling everything and just getting all the pieces myself, but truly just selling because I loved it and people loved it as well. And just, it was wild. I was still nursing at the time, still had been at the time, and things just got like real, real fast. And I felt so, I'll say, overwhelmed, honestly, after like 8 months in and having the responsibility of showing up to help 33 other people and still have parties. That, and I really felt that I kind of got really brainwashed into like the social selling. It really, you know, when I was out in public, like that was my main goal, and it was really bad that I would just be always like talking about jewelry and asking people if you want to have parties and stuff like that, because I was killing it. I was killing it because I wasn't afraid to ask anybody, and I truly like believed in like, you know, the pieces and stuff like that. But anyway, it kind of got a little, I'll say, overwhelming, and I really lost focus and just really started, I think, turn a bit salesy that I didn't like. And anyway, I just put a stop to it. I remember we were in Florida on vacation, and ear jackets came out. And if you were one, I sold from Florida at the dining room kitchen table, I think within like an hour, like 200 pairs of ear jackets or something ridiculous. Like, it was wild. But then Josh kind of looked at me, got disappointed in me because I was working while I was on vacation, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. And it was a rude awakening that like I needed to probably have a little break. So that little break turned into no longer doing Stellan Dot, knowing that I could be extremely successful doing it, but just not ready to take on the responsibility of, like, you know, having an actual team, because downline was technically a team, and just really taking care of myself and making my family priority and just not really getting all worked up and washed up and caught up in the sales part of it. So that was my very first taste. So I think my like lesson to learn from here, from that, will be if anyone wants to like try like a little side hustle, a little gig before like going all in, like I would highly recommend an MLM, because even though people hate them, because if you're in it, you don't just spam people with messages. Like, I got one yesterday, honestly, and like I don't know if the girls will be listening to this or not. She's not from here. She's from out of province. But I opened up my DMs and went to like a message request, and it was literally like 5 paragraphs, and it was 5 paragraphs of her just like selling this, of course, the message, because I'm trying to teach like my actual real estate team now how to come from contribution and build relationships and not be salesy. And it just reeked vomit of sales. So anyway, what I'm trying to get at is I feel like a lot of you who are DMing me and messaging me and asking me how I truly, like, you know, how I left my job and jumped into the entrepreneurial world, I would say, like, one, like, if you want a taste of it and aren't sure like how you're going to do with it, but want to take like a safer route, just, you know, before you go like all in, like an MLM is a great option. It's really, that was my washer. It's like 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday, trying to catch up on laundry before the week is over. But it's a really, MLM is a really safe avenue because it's usually really low cost to start up. You know, you get your product, you get, you know, assigned or affiliated or whatever with someone already in the company to be like a sponsor or a mentor or a coach or whatever they call themselves, depending on the business. And really is low risk, and you get equipped with, you know, the product, you try it, you love it, you get, you know, experience in coaching and like mentorship from someone who's already in the business, and it's really safe. It's a really, like, having Stellan Dot, I don't mean it's still a thing, but doing one of those types is a really safe stepping stone for you to test it out without, you know, giving up your job, without, you know, throwing everything away or, you know, going all in. It's a really easy first
step to taste it. And like, I see lots of women who are killing it in this business and that industry and have left their jobs and are doing just that. So that's awesome. If that's not your end goal, you have like your own idea or something else you want to do. If it's, you know, sell cars or sell real estate or sell jewelry or MLMs or whatever it is to be your own boss. Maybe you want to start your own cleaning business or whatever. But before you like dive in, you haven't done any sales before, I feel like MLM would be a really safe route. So that's what, that was my first step. That was my first taste. That was like, ooh, I like this. I like, one, making women feel and look beautiful, because that was like the highlight of it. It was like, when they try it on, when they see it, they're like, oh, I love it. Michelle, it looks so good on you. It's going to look so good on me. And I can wear this statement necklace. I can wear this arm party of like stacked bracelets. Like, it was super cool and fun. And like, people were gifting it to their parents and their friends and stuff. So like, that was like dreamy. I loved it. That was the best part of it. Obviously, the money was great. The product was beautiful. And I loved getting it myself. And it was a really good like networking, get out of the house and go do stuff with people. So it was a lot of perks doing that. So once I, you know, had to take a break from it and just try to figure out like, what am I doing? I really missed it. I really missed that, like, you know, that connection, that, you know, mix and mingling, that social selling. At that point, I don't even know if it was called social selling, but that's what it was. It was just selling things I really, truly enjoyed and loved and liked to wear myself. So that's when the idea, again, I can remember it very vividly. We were in our old house in Vanbury. My friend Amanda was up. We were sat on the big brown corner couch in the living room. And I sat down and we just started talking about having like a clothing line from a truck. I was like, I want a mobile truck. I want a mobile truck to sell clothes from. And Josh was just like, okay, well, let's just do it. So I pull up my phone, get on Pinterest, start looking at, you know, where do you wholesale clothes from? Like, where are suppliers? You know, found this list. All of it was from like LA, from like the shopping district. I had to pay money to get this list. And then before I knew it, I didn't get my mobile truck, but I had clothes in my basement, selling it from my basement. And when I say basement, my basement was actually really nice in my old house. It was very bright. I had a nice big rec room, bonus room that we used as like a little like store. And before I knew it, I was set up and Bombshell Boutique was created. It was like, I want this. I want to do it. My husband was 100% on board. We were just like, how do we do it? We created a store name, a little logo, got on Shopify, set it all up. The beauty of it doing from my basement, I think this is all going to get blurry now. And I was still nursing at this point. I was still nursing when I did Sell and Dot. I was still nursing when I opened up the store originally, like the online boutique and doing and having a product in my actual house. I guess it was 2014, 15, 16. I don't know what year it was. Anyway, it was good. So for my basement, I just had like very limited supply. Like if I would order things that I like, I would order, you know, two or three different sizes of it, try to be a little bit inclusive, usually just small, medium, large, honestly, because I didn't have the money to really bulk up on everything, because I had to buy everything up front and get paid as it sold, of course, because I didn't do any pre-orders. And two, I didn't really have a whole lot of space to carry and hold that much stuff. So I did it for my basement for 2 years. It was wild. It was a wild 2 years. We really, you know, tested and sampled a lot of product. We knew like Judy Blue jeans, Tua, maxi dresses. Like there were some signature, like Shein Sky. There were some signature brands that had the lace at Shein Sky. But Sky was always beautiful. From sampling, and like we knew what the product was going to be like, and we knew what was going to be affordable. We really try to keep things affordable. Obviously, I had really low overhead like cost because I was just keeping it at my house. It was just downfall of it is just that you always had to buy everything up front yourself, and like I didn't get any loans or anything like that at that point in my basement, so it was just, that was a struggle. I don't know if I ever truly ever got paid, honestly, like let's be for real, because I was continuously ordering stock and always having samples. I never ever got a loan to do it. I was just using my own money. So every time, you know, we would do sales, we would just have to order new things. So I feel like it was always this vicious cycle of there's money there, but we got to order new stuff. Do you know what I mean? It was never not any money there besides like that first initial few order, you know, first couple months or whatever. But that's where that started from. And it was so, exhilarating, I'll say. It was so cool. And again, the same like theme kept coming through. It was, you know, making women look and feel good and, you know, get pieces of clothes that they couldn't find anywhere else. And the convenience, they would see me with it, they would order it. I was delivering it to their house, honestly, for the first couple of years. And this is way before COVID. This was, yeah, definitely like 2018 maybe. Then, you know, still doing nursing, still doing this. And then by 2020, COVID hits, of course. But in that blur of a moment, I had a really big opportunity and a big rush and a big desire to just really, you know, leave nursing eventually. And I made that decision that year with the help of my husband. But amongst all that, we also made the huge leap of taking our basement online store into a big brick and mortar store. And I took way too much. I think it was just because we just wanted to level up, and leveling up meant I should have just focused maybe on a store or just kept it in my basement and never should have took on like that much. I did have a fabulous team though, a really fabulous team, and the store was open for 6 months. But in this time, it was, I left nursing and entered into the real estate world. We took our clothing store from the basement and opened it up into a brick and mortar, like a big store. So at that point, I was really obviously leaving the regular job and really engulfing myself into the entrepreneurship and not really prepared for what was to come with, you know, time and commitment, all the hard work and energy it was going to take to tap into the real estate network and get our name out there now, not just Josh's name, my name, but then also the much higher responsibility, risk, and everything that was associated with opening a big store. Because for one, I now, instead of needing, you know, $10,000 worth of product, let's just say, in my house at all times, I now needed $50,000, $60,000 worth of product in a store at all times to keep it stocked and keep it full. And in my basement, for the most part, everything would always sell out because I would just have, you know, I would order 12, you know, one dress, and I would just have a quantity of 12. But in the store, I would order one dress, and now I would have a quantity of maybe 24, 48, like, you know, like 60, whatever we thought, like the supply and demand, what we'd be really conservative. But sometimes we would order extra in anticipation that it would sell, and most times it did. But I wasn't quite prepared, and this is definitely a hiccup and hurdle. I wasn't quite prepared, and I didn't really have the training or education, honestly, to like price it accordingly to like the, all the overhead. When I was doing it for my basement, I'll say I probably priced everything way too cheap because I didn't have any expenses. It was just, you know, a little bit of money for me, and I was getting free clothes and it was fine. But then when I went to the big box store, like technically I think I should have like doubled or tripled, maybe quadrupled the price of what I was charging to actually make sure I had enough money for the staff, for my manager, for all the expenses from the actual like physical space, and then for any product that didn't sell and have a surplus of money to actually be able to pay myself, pay for marketing, pay for the internet bill, pay for the security bill, pay for anything that did not sell. So I took on way too much. And that's why I think I gave you guys the example of the MLM, because it's so safe at the beginning and such a low risk of like commitment for you to sign up and get the product and stuff like that for you to test. And I really didn't take the time to, you know, sit down and like escape the world and like the real estate world and everything else and just try and learn that. I didn't. And it was a really eye-opening experience for me. And you know, we were only open for 6 months, and not because we had to, we were in foreclosure or anything. That's not why we closed. But honestly, probably if I kept going the way I did, I probably would never have like caught up. I couldn't see a balance sheet, I guess. There wasn't a balance sheet because I was so consumed with having product and like trying to play catch up. That every time we would have sales, I would just have to order more clothes because we had to keep, you know, we had to keep stock. When we opened, like the parking lot was full. There was lineups, people trying to come in. So that was a lot and a really big learning experience for myself. And, you know, after 6 months, we decided that we would close. Our manager, Michelle, had a new opportunity, and I just physically, mentally didn't have the capacity to interview and find someone else for her. And I was super happy for her because she had a new opportunity. And I just knew it was time to give up. And honestly, in that 6 months after the store, after it actually opened, I really distanced myself because I think I just got so overwhelmed and so like fearful of like the money piece of it that I really, the whole purpose of it was to, you know, make women look and feel their best and make a really like inclusive environment and amazing shopping experience. And the stress and the burden of like the money piece while not actually wanting to be there, because I want to really focus on this real estate gig with Josh and building that, the true why and the meaning behind the store, it just fell on the back burner. I lost that passion. Like, you know, this was my side hustle. That was my passion project, store. And quickly, abruptly just made a decision that I just needed to like it to stop. Like it was like a 2 week notice. It was like, here, if you have a gift card and you come use it, I have stock. It's going to be all sold out. Like the closing out sale, I didn't even go over because I was so upset, I guess. Fearful, disappointed, I guess was another word. Like felt like it was a failure and I didn't really want to be associated with it, honestly. So that was a really messy, dark, but also relieving time to just wipe my hands clean and just like start fresh and just really focus on one thing. So if you're listening and you're like, I want to leave my job and do that, there's so much to process and so much to learn and so much to consider. Like I'm all yours for a coffee on you to like just brain dump and just like give you my perspective, because it's all fun and games, but like it's also really scary and a lot of risk. So that all happened and I was left nursing and in the real estate world and, you know, Snowmageddon and COVID and all the things. And it's been 4 years since all that happened. And 4 years ago, it was like, wow. And like, we are still trying to catch up and like figure out like the debt that came from the store. Honestly, we're just like plugging away at it, picking away at it. And at the time, we didn't really notice it. But like, when we look at our expenses now and trying to like, you know, catch up, because, you know, Josh was laid off as well years ago and we like lived on like nothing. You know what I mean? All that stuff, it adds up and it takes a long time to like pay it all back. And that's probably a story for another day, honestly. So yeah, just be really cautious. And, you know, we obviously share mostly the highlights and the success and everything on our socials. And people are like, oh, I want to be like you and blah, blah, blah. But 4 years in real estate, and it's been a wild 4 years, and it's been a wild, I guess, 10 years leading up to now, testing the waters, getting my toes wet, starting out with the MLM, going, you know, being conservative and safe, doing the online space, going all in and just completely backfiring and walking away from that and washing my hands clean and now figuring out how to stay tapped in to this women's world and this network that I truly love and still have this passion for making women look and feel their best. And I'm just doing it now for free because I just want to inspire other women to like get dressed every day, honestly. And no matter their shape, size, age, whatever, like they can pull it off. And that's really what the whole Bombshell by Michelle turned Bombshell Babes Club it's all about right now. Just trying to figure out what that is. So I think the moral of this story is, and me going this memory lane, I guess, is 4 years has gone so quick since I officially left nursing and entered into full 100% entrepreneur world, trying to figure out and maneuver this real estate world, because it is a whole different world out there trying to, you know, provide the best service and the best experience and coach and mentor and build a team and really change the real estate game here locally on a local level. And this year has started off a little bit slow, I'm not going to lie, but it's definitely picking up. And in the real estate world, and I guess maybe lots of other industries can relate, that there's highs, lows, the market shifts, it changes. And a lot of people in the last couple of years jumped into real estate because it was so quote unquote easy, because interest rates were so low and so many people were buying and so many people were so successful. And I think right now
you can mark my words, you're going to see a lot of agents changing brokerages, switching brokerages, and changing, you know, where they're working right now because they are really struggling and they aren't really sure what avenue to take. They don't have, you know, skills developed or any habits developed because the past couple of years has been a little bit quote unquote easy because there's been a lot of buyers and people, you know, friends, family, whatever, using people that they know, and they aren't quite ready and don't have the habits and experience or mentorship or coaching or, you know, people around them to support them, and they're just going to jump. I've already seen it. I've already seen agents jumping from brokerage to brokerage, just hoping that something's going to click, that someone's going to be able to help them. But, you know, all brokerages are the same. Obviously, they have their perks. They have their pitches. They have their, you know, offerings when it comes to education and training and stuff like that. But, you know, no matter where you work, we all have to do the same thing. And if we aren't coming from contribution and building relationships, or you're salesy, or whatever avenue you want to take, you just have to figure that out. But that's going to happen. You're going to see a lot of that this year. And I digress. But my experience has not been easy. It's definitely been challenging. And, you know, Josh entered this world 100% solo himself. And that probably helped with my transition 4 years ago. That he's already been in the industry, kind of had himself established somewhat. And I have been learning from him, from helping him behind the scenes for all these years. So it definitely has helped kick off that journey. But there's always going to be, you know, peaks and troughs in like a sales or in your own business. And you can't do this because you think you're going to work less hours or you're going to have more control over your life. And that's false. That is not true. It's just not. And, you know, I might say I work less, but then Josh quickly will correct me because content creation, podcast recordings, you know, making, you know, replying to messages on social media, like we're just being people. We're just, you know, interacting, engaging, but it technically does come down to it is kind of work as well. It is work. So yeah, that's just two rude awakenings, two abrupt statements that if you're doing this because you think it's going to be easier, it's not. Will you make more money? Probably, if you get the right habits and the right skills and the right mindset and control your calendar and learn how to say no and come from contribution, build relationships and know that it's a long game and you don't give up after 6 months. You know, you have to keep going past 6 month mark with something that you're trying, or whether it's the job in general or the business or the idea. You just can't give up. So this is me going down memory lane with you to try and explain and let you know the play-by-play of where this journey started. And I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm pretty optimistic. This past couple of months, we've had a couple of new opportunities, you know, speaking on panels, being asked to travel to workshops. Our name is just starting to get out there, you know, past the overpass, outside the province, outside of the country even. And I feel like we're starting to really have the opportunity to surround ourselves with some really big thinkers, some people who are going to help us really step out of our comfort zone, who are going to challenge us and who are going to encourage us on a different level than what everyone in our day-to-day life has been able to do. And we really, you really need that. But I've said it previously that people may have thought it was a little bit easier because, you know, I did join my husband in this world. But do you know what? It's not really easy. It's being dedicated and focused enough and determined enough to be able to live on commission only, to take that risk, to feel okay, to deal with the stress and deal with the overall, I guess, burden that you are strictly on commission. There's no regular, like, you are your boss. There is no one who's sending you a paycheck. And then to add to that is you're strictly commission, but then you have, you know, your own table that needs food and, you know, shelter, and your kids want the things, you want to do vacations and stuff. But then you also have the extra responsibility and stress and, I guess, determination to make sure then your team also has it. Like, it's a whole different level. It's a whole different level of responsibility and stress and
frustration sometimes, and equally on the flip side, rewarding and amazing and super fulfilling to see other people in your life succeed. But there's always a part of you that's really stressed out to make sure that, you know, I'm going to be the last one who's getting paid, not my administrative staff or our support staff or operations people or our agents. Like they get paid first and we get paid after. So it's a big jump, and you might not be thinking about teams or anything. You're just thinking about yourself right now, but it is a big jump. It is a big jump to go from that, like a lot more insecurity of like when you're going to get paid, how you're going to get paid. And it just takes a lot more drive and determination and gut and like self-discipline, honestly, than, you know, you are your own boss now. It's all fun and games. It's all fun and games. But I had a message from Realtors Care today. I was nominated for the Realtors Care Award, and apparently 46 other Canadian realtors were nominated as well, which is super, super cool. When the individual reached out to me this past fall and told me that she wanted to nominate me, I was surprised. I was shocked and really honored, actually, that she would think of it. A little bit imposter that, like, I'm not going to get it, which I didn't win it, which is fine. But I think being nominated, honestly, is a win. It's a huge win. And like now it's, I talked to her today, and I said it's officially added to my bucket list for the next 5-year goal. I'm going to write it down, because I always said I wanted to talk and walk on stage, and that happened. And now I'm like, I want to get, you know, certain awards. What awards do I want to get? What do I want to get recognized for? And is not, to me, you know, like, what does success mean? Is it, you know, is it just money, fame, blah, 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 that type of thing? Or is it what you do are able to do for the community? And I think that's really what I want. Like, that's where I want, like, my success and everything to come from. It's this part of my life is excelling. And because of that, I can do this to help other people. That's really what I want in my life. And it's officially added to my bucket list of Realtors Care Award. So nomination has been huge. And I sent it to a girlfriend that unofficially, we've been mentoring each other, I think. And I sent it to her with gibberish in a message. She's like, Michelle, I'm not sure what you mean. I'm like, that's okay. We can just talk next time we see each other. We'll talk about it a little bit more. And she, her direct words was like, I'm going to read it. What did she say? What did she say in her message? She said, I honestly feel like you're on a verge of blowing up career-wise and are on a MFing motherfucking roll. And I do, I feel it. I feel I'm really afraid that I'm going to miss something. Like, there's something right in front of me that I just need to like acknowledge or see or tweak or do or say or just put out there. I don't know. There's something, like, I feel it. I do. I feel it. I feel like we're right on the verge, and not just me, but like we, as in like me and my husband and like the team. And it's just, we're right there. We're so close. We've been at, like, there's just something. There's something happening. So between, you know, having an interview last year for like a KW Cares event that was virtual online with thousands of agents, and then being on a panel on a stage, to now being nominated to Realtors Care Awards, and we're speaking in Toronto, and I'm going to Austin next week to do, actually in a couple of days, to do like a workshop with like head office. I have no idea. I will update how many agents are there. It could be just me. It could be, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be very big. It's going to be very intimate. But I do, I feel like someone said to me earlier this week that, you know, if you're looking for bullshit and crap and you're down to dumps and you're just looking for the negative, you're going to see the negative. But once you start looking for the opportunities and the positives and the things that are lifting you up, like, you're going to find them, you're going to get them. And that's truly, it sounds like woo-woo, like universe bullshit, but like, it's true. It is, it's true. And like back before Christmas, I feel like we were in a slump and things were like not going the way we wanted, weren't as motivated, like things weren't progressing the way we really wanted to. And it was like at home, we felt it, at work, we felt it. It was just really hard. And I think I'm going to do a next topic. It's not even about money. It's going to be about just trying to be a wife and trying to like love your husband unconditionally, no matter what. But since Christmas and since, like, I think coming back like the new year and stuff, and it wasn't in January, I think it really started in February, honestly, when we started like getting ready and going on our conferences and our trips and stuff like that. I just feel like things are moving and things are just appearing, like the opportunities are just coming, as because we're actually focused and motivated and really truly just want to see it and find it and are not getting consumed with the negative things. And it really pays off, honestly. So this is me just reflecting on life right now, work, but a little bit of personal, and how the past 4 years has unfolded for me, and how career changes and big steps and just taking huge risks has really paid off. And it hasn't always been easy, and it hasn't always came out on top with big wins. And I think there's still lots of setbacks that I can definitely share with you to make you feel that, you know, you're not alone there as well. So if you have any experience or any stories that you would like to share with me about, you know, career changes or anything in life that you just took the plunge, you just did it, please let me know. I'd love to hear your story. If you're in the beginning stages, if you're just thinking about starting some kind of entrepreneurial journey, it's a big step. And it's gonna take a lot of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, if you know Mel Robbins, to take the leaps and, you know, sacrifices and maybe be broke for a little bit and have peaks and troughs and ceilings to break through. But you're not alone. You're not the first one to do it. Someone else has done it, and you just need to put yourself out there and ask the right questions and find those people and learn from their mistakes. That's exactly what we're trying to do. And if you ever need someone to bounce an idea off of, if you just have a question and I might not know the answer, but I might be able to help you and direct you to the right person, I am all ears and would love to be your cheerleader. Until next time, chat soon. Bye.
That wraps up another inspiring episode of Beyond the Bombshell. I hope our time together has ignited a fire within you to embrace your authentic self and show up fearlessly. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to continue this empowering conversation, make sure you subscribe to Beyond the Bombshell on your favorite podcast platform and join our community of fierce women who are rewriting the rules and embracing their unique journeys. Connect with me on social media at Bombshell Babes Club, where we can continue to uplift and support each other, to share Beyond the Bombshell moments, and let's inspire others to embrace their true selves. Remember, you are more than what meets the eye. You are a force to be reckoned with. Keep shining, keep growing, and keep embracing the extraordinary woman that you are. Until next time, stay real and keep going beyond the bombshell.